Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Allogene Therapeutics Preliminary Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, September 28, 2017. I would like to hand the conference over to our first speaker today, Manuel Lobey. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you, all of you, for coming here. Very good morning. We are here to review the results of our last fiscal year, June 2016 to July 2017. Most of you are very familiar with the company, so we'll skip the introduction and we'll go straight forward to the highlights. So I'll hand over to Nick. You, I think all of you know Nick Wightman, our financial director, and myself, Manuel Lobet, the CEO. So I'll hand over to you, Nick.
Thank you, Manuel. Good morning, everybody. We've had a very strong year of results. We had sales of $64.1 million, up 32% in actual terms and 15% in constant currency terms. Our pre-R&D operating profit at $7.4 million was up 72% on last year. Research and development expenditure was down slightly on last year at $9.3 million. I'll go into more detail about some of these figures later on in the presentation. And we finished the year with a strong cash balance of $22.1 million. I'll hand back to Manuel.
On the operational side, there are two aspects. One is the commercial progress. We have got an additional market share point. To go from 12% market share to 13% market share means that you have to beat the market by around about 8 to 9 points. That means that we have grown on average 8 to 9 points more than our competitors as a whole. That what represents getting 1 point market share. And the other aspect of our operations are the pipeline. The pipeline is probably the most valuable asset we have, and it's moving forward according to plan, and we'll get more details in the next slides. Let's refresh the strategy in slide number 7. We have been showing this slide consistently over the last presentations. These are the three pillars of our strategy, expanding in Europe. We want to get more critical mass, and the strategy is to grow through market share gains. As you know, the European market are broadly flat or with a slow growth, and we are growing double digits, so this means that we are taking market share from others. And as we grow, we want to leverage on our current infrastructure in a way that we can improve our margins. And that's the strategy. We have specific goals. We want to reach around 20% market share by around the fiscal year 2020-2021. Which internally we call our 2020 plan. Regarding the pipeline, we have, as you know, we have two kind of assets in our pipeline. We have the Polynex Quattro franchise. This is a platform that it's addressed to, designed to address the allergic rhinitis with seasonal allergens, mainly pollen. So Polynex Quattro grass, ragweed, trees, and so on. And recently, 2 years ago, we wanted to introduce a couple of projects in order to enrich the pipeline and to boost our addressable market. So we introduced the Acarovac project that we'll talk a little bit later and the Polivac project. These two projects are at early stage. So we have the late stage, phase two, phase three, with the seasonal allergens, and we have early stage with a perennial allergens and the food allergens. And the third pillar, which is the U.S., All of you know that that's a very interesting opportunity. And maybe the most interesting thing is the dynamics that we are seeing in the U.S. market. The U.S. market is getting towards full registered pharmaceutical products, and that is, I would say, in our favor, because we will prepare and we will be able to deliver, if we succeed through the clinical trials, the product that the market needs. So let's take a quick look at the strategy in Europe. As you know, we are moving forward and developing the company with a mix of registered products and named patient products. The named patient products are most of them under registration process within the TAB regulation that most of you are familiar. It's the regulation in Germany that has laid out how to do this transition from NPP products to registered products. And we have a development plan for these products under the TAB. The concept that we are marketing, and I think one of the key reasons why we are getting a fast penetration, is our concept of ultra-short course. That's convenience for the patients, it's convenience for the doctors. Convenience leads to efficacy, efficacy leads to happy patients, and that's what's driving our growth in Europe. Also, we have introduced a couple of new products, Acarovac, not Acarovac 4, but Acarovac. We launched it as an inpatient product in Spain and recently in Austria, and it's working commercially very well. And also the symbiotics, that you know that with all these microbiome studies and so on, symbiotics are immunomodulators of many things, among them immunomodulators of the allergy response. So we have a portfolio of symbiotics that are also developing well and helping to our growth. Maybe just to finalize this slide, this very nice graphic, we have hit a milestone this year of double-digit growth for the last 18 years. Why 18 years? Because this is when we spun off from GlaxoSmithKline. So since our conception, we've been able to grow double-digit on a compound annual growth rate for 18 years in a row, and facing two major challenges. One, a big financial crisis that hit us badly because the government that put more austerity measures in place was Germany, and we had a big exposure in Germany. And a major regulatory change as a result of the TAB that had the implication that we had to stop selling 30% of our portfolio. And these two things had a very strong impact in the company, but in spite of these two major issues, we've been able to keep moving the company and growing double digits for 18 years. I think this shows that we have a resilient business model, and that we can keep growing at a nice pace over the next years. In the next slide, I really don't have many comments. It's a breakdown sales per market and per product. Maybe you will see here that Germany is still by far the biggest market that we operate, but it used to be more important, in spite that it's growing nicely, but the other markets are growing faster. So we went from around 70% and we are now below 60, which gives us a little bit more balanced portfolio of markets. Now our second most important market and subsidiary is Spain, followed by Italy. In terms of products, nothing to comment. All the products are progressing well. The growth that you have seen, this 15% in constant currency, broadly has been across the whole portfolio. Maybe a little bit more the short treatments, but in general, it's a healthy growth and across the board. Let's talk a little bit more about the pipeline. As I said, we have these like two blocks within the pipeline, the late stage and the early stage. What you can see here in slide number 12 is, well, first of all, the products that we have licensed. We have five products. The Polinex family, that is the predecessor of Polinex Quattro, is registered in the most important markets, Germany, UK, Switzerland, Netherlands, Poland, and some others. We have Polinex Ragweed also registered in Canada, and the Venoms. These are our registered products. Then we have three projects in phase three, the Polinex Quattro Grass in the US, that was the G301. It's completed, it met its primary endpoint, and it will be part of the submission package for the US biological license application. The Polinex Quattro Birch that is underway, and Polinex Quattro Ragweed also that was implemented in the US when we were doing clinical trials in 2004-2005. In phase two, we have the new dose finding for Polinex Quattro Grass. We announced a few days ago that we finally got all the clinical trial applications approvals to start the study, what we will do immediately, and a Polinex Quattro 3 for the US that also was done when we were operating in 2004-2007 in that market. Maybe new here, the phase one for the Oralvac family. That Oralvac is our only oral vaccine, and it's a sort of franchise for three main allergens, grass, trees, and ragweed. And house dust mite, and we are starting phase one with this Oralvac family of products. Acarovac Quattro, we have talked about this, and we will comment a little bit more later. And the Polivac peanut, the peanut vaccine, that also will comment later. In terms of trials, in slide number 13. As you remember, we had a very nice, successful, probably the best dose-finding study ever done in allergy immunotherapy with Polinex Quattro Birch. That allowed us to pick the best dose, and we agreed with the Polar League Institute to go ahead to phase three, and that's the phase three PQ Birch study that we are running. Recruitment is well underway. We have already hundreds of patients recruited, and most of them have started the treatment. Polinex Quattro Grass, phase two, that's the second phase two for this product, and we are using the conjunctivital provocation test technique as opposed to challenge chambers. And as you remember, that was the technique that we used for the Polinex Quattro Birch phase two. So it's a technique that has proven to be successful. We are doing it in Germany. And the aim of this study is to pick the best possible dose to go into phase three that will be done in the US and Europe, and will be the second phase three and pivotal phase three for the submissions in Europe and the US. Finally, the phase one with Acarovac Quattro started in Spain. We announced that, and we are progressing with this phase one study, and we expect readout in H2 2018. Regarding the Polivac vaccine in slide number 14, all of you know we announced that we had a very interesting, successful proof of concept. We saw full protection of the animals that we vaccinated. And most importantly, I think, is that we saw a vaccine totally hypoallergenic. And that's critical for a vaccine like peanut, because Peanut is the most aggressive allergen I think we have, or major allergen, and therefore the hypoallergenicity is absolutely key. So we were as probably more excited with the hypoallergenicity of the vaccine than with the very good efficacy or the protection that we saw in the treated group. As you know, that's a new world for us. This market is much bigger than the allergic rhinitis market. And we are now designing an industrial manufacturing process that we can GMP, and then after that we will be able to go into phase one with humans. And finally, the US, that's a transformational opportunity if we succeed. Maybe starting with this circle here, the one in the bottom, adherence is about 15%, so that's a really poor adherence, and that's the biggest problem of immunotherapy in the United States. Patients don't comply with the treatment, and this is what I said. Convenient treatment leads to compliance, compliance leads to the efficacy, efficacy leads to improve the patients or cure the patients. So that's what we want to address when we launch Polynex 4. We want these numbers to go up to 60-70%. You know all these data, so current treatments are between 50 and 100 injections, 2 to 3 million patients treated every year, estimated market between $2 and $3 billion. Tablets have not got any kind of commercial traction, but we are convinced that if we launch Polynex 4, will be an immediate success. As I said, the dynamics in the US market are making the work for the allergists tougher and tougher. There are many considerations, the new pharmacopeia, new conditions for the compounding of the products like sterile conditions, expiry dates that are very onerous for the allergists. The payers don't want to pay the updosing because it's very long and many patients drop off before they finish the updosing period. So all the scene is sort of going towards a market that will probably need pharmaceutical class products, and we are ready to offer that as soon as possible. There is no registered subcutaneous product in the market, so we'll be first to market, and will be the benefit to brand our product as first movers. So that was an overview of what we have done this year, and happy to go through the numbers with Nick. So I will hand over to you, Nick.
Thank you, Manuel. Moving on to slide 18, the profit and loss for the year ended 30th June 2017. As mentioned before, we had revenue of $64.1 million, up from $48.5 million. That's a 15% growth at constant rates, or 32% in actual rates. We had a strong growth. Gross profit of $47.4 million, up from $34.4 million. That's a gross profit margin percentage of 74%, up from 71% last year, driven really by the increasing revenue. The revenue really has been a strong performance across the whole of our Northern European business and a Spanish business as well, showing all good growth rates. And across the whole portfolio, as Manuel has already mentioned. Overheads at 40.7 are up from 30.3 last year, an increase of 10.4 million. About 50% of that is due to investment that we've made in the business within the supply chain, the infrastructure, the marketing and sales, and the other part of that is FX. I should remind you that we have about 95% of our sales are in continental Europe, but also with our overheads, about 75 to 80% of our overheads are in euros as well. Research and development for the year was 9.3 million. That's down from 16.2 million last year and really reflects the timing. As we've, as Manuel has talked about, we were busy doing an additional phase one trial and gearing up towards our trials, which are now just starting for the phase two GRASS trial and the phase three BIRCH trial. So looking forward to next year, and we said this in the outlook, we're expecting probably something like double the level of research and development expenditure next year as we really get into the meat of these two major trials. Other income in the year of 0.7 million was up from the 0.2 million last year, and that reflects our R&D tax credits. So we finished the year with an operating loss of 1.9 million, significantly better than the previous year, and shows a strong performance from the top line. The measurement that we really look at is the operating profit pre-R&D, so that gives an indication of the trading within our European business, and that showed a profit of 7.4 million, up from 4.3 million last year. The combination of the FX effect, but also the investment we put into the business and the growth of the top line. Profit after tax was a loss of 2.5 million. Moving on to slide 19, which shows the sales and shows the calculation of the constant rate. The main area I wanted to highlight to you really is the effect of the FX. That is the reason why we quote two different growth rates, both the actual growth rate and constant rate, because obviously with a significant amount of sales in euros, that has a huge effect on us. And you can see there's an 8.6 million impact from that. As I mentioned, there's strong growth across the whole portfolio, particularly in Polynex, Quattro, Venomil, and the Polynex products. Moving on to slide 20, which shows the balance sheet. Main notes on the balance sheet. Obviously, the balance sheet is also affected by the movements in FX. So there's been some movement in the non-current assets. We've continued to invest in further plant and so on, but that's been offset by depreciation. Trade debtors in the period were higher than the prior year, but that was really due to the timing. We have one or two significant receipts at the time that were received in just after the year end. As mentioned before, we finished the year with a strong cash balance of 22.1 million, slightly down from last year of 23.4 million, and that really reflects the quality of performance of our business, the FX impact, and also the management of working capital. We finished the year with a debt of 3.3 million. That's pretty much in line with last year. There's been no additional debt taken out. We do have a seasonal overdraft in place, but that was not used during the year. And just to say that the other liabilities that you'll see, there's been a tick up in that, and that's really due to the R&D creditors. As we start to move into those trials, obviously those figures build. Then moving on to slide 21, which is the cash flow slide, which is obviously very important for us. Overall, our net cash generated operation of 1.5 million for the year, representing the underlying quality of the business and the sales we've made in the year, a significant improvement from last year. We had an outflow of 11.5 million. We had a certain amount of tax and interest paid. We do still pay tax due to transfer pricing, so we pay tax in Germany, a certain amount in Spain and Italy. And as I mentioned before, we've continued to invest both in our infrastructure in the plant itself and to improve efficiencies. We continue to upgrade our the quality of the supply chain, so it's an outflow of 2 million. So overall, we closed with a cash position of 22.1 million. And some, as I mentioned, as a final point on there, there was some research and development expenditure within the year, which we were expecting would come through in 2017, will now come through in 2018. And now I'd like to pass back to Manuel.
Thank you, Nick. So in summary, I would say that we are delivering against our strategy on the three pillars. We have made significant progress. We have got strong financial set that we expect to continue. Clinical trials are progressing as planned. We are now starting to gear more focus on the strategy in the US that we want to start preparing as we move forward with the dose finding and the phase through right after that. Next year will be pivotal in terms of clinicals. We'll have the readouts in H2 of the PQ-BIRCH3, the GRASP dose finding, and the phase one for Acarovac. So that could really be a booster for our clinical development progress. And we remain quite confident about the future of the company. So we feel we have a good concept. We have a very strong supply chain. We are seen as a very reliable company. We have a wonderful pipeline. We are well-funded. So we see the future with great confidence. In terms of news flow, what we should expect is maybe we'll announce this first patient treated for the dose finding of GRASP. Then we'll have in March the half-year results, and the second semester of 2018 we'll have the readout of these three key studies. So that's all from my side and Nick's side, and very happy to take questions if any. Yes.
How many patients roughly?
I think it's about 440, I think.
That's correct, 440.
Yeah.
It's the target number of patients.
Yeah.
Very
rapid enrollment and treatment phase for that study.
Yeah. Well, as you have seen, we have been reinforcing significantly our R&D teams. We recently announced that we had made key appointments, and we have doubled the size of the team in a couple of years. We have been building infrastructure to develop studies at higher speed. And also there is a sort of learning curve with all the group of investigators that we did the previous study. So yeah, a little bit challenging, but we think that we can make it.
And the 400 patients roughly, is that half and half US, Germany?
No, the 205 is only in Europe. It's in four or five countries. It's Germany, Austria, Poland, I think Sweden. But it's in Europe, not in the U.S. No,
it is a trial that will go forward as part of the U.S. submission, but it's taking the actual trial is taking place all taking place in Europe. Yeah.
Just to follow up on the dose finding, could you mention that's right, you have the original studies that you run, you're talking about this being potential second pivotal that you would need. How does the dose, are there changes in terms of the dose ranging study, in terms of the selection of doses that might be different to the...
Yes, probably.
I have assuming that's already reviewed with the regulators on
that. Yeah, we that has been discussed with the regulators, and this is why we are doing these dose findings, because typically you need a couple of phase threes. We already had one, and then we were asked to have a second one, which is a standard. We asked the FDA if we could improve the product in terms of seeking the best possible dose in terms of efficacy and safety, and we agreed that we would perform a dose finding, and that's good for the patients, it's good for us because we can get a better product, so it's likely that the best dose probably is not the one that we have in the G301 that had proven to be efficacious anyway.
Follow up on the 20% market share 2020/21. got the TAB process experience, you got a percentage point improvement last year.
Last year we got 2 points additional market share, 2 points. It was a little bit special year because of the supply problems of some competitors, but it was 1.7 or so, so rounded was 2, and this year may have been a little bit more than 2. I think that on average we should be taking 1.5 a year, more or less, to reach that goal. So it's mathematical, but around about between 1 and 2 a year.
The TAF process starts
to play out. The TAF process is ongoing.
Setting up the potential reduction of competition that would have an impact on share.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I think it's going to be well beyond 2020, the TAF. Because now we are starting to receive. That's a little bit specific, but we are starting to receive the clinical responses to the, we submitted a clinical plan. The PAI is coming back with comments on the clinical plans. After that, we have 1 year to respond, and then after that year, you have 7 years to develop the clinical plan. So we are talking about at least the TAB should last until 2027 or 2026. So, but in the meantime, there will be players that will not be able to cope with the requirements. That's already happening. I mean, when the TAB started, there were around about 140 applications, and now there are less than 70, I think. So more than half of the products have not been able to deliver, whether for the dossier or quality reasons or efficacy reasons, whatever. But many products within the TAB have already been withdrawn.
Manuel, on slide 24, we've got the timeline for the sort of news flow. Polyvac peanut doesn't appear on that timeline, so I'm just wondering about what your plans are in terms of that.
We don't have certainty. This is why we are working on it. It could be maybe a little bit more than 1 year. We feel a little bit frustrated to do this slow progress, but we want to make the best vaccine possible, and we want to beat all our competitors when we launch the product, because we think we'll have a superior product by far. So the competitors that we are foreseeing now basically are the Immune product and the DBV product. Both of the Immune is more about tolerability, and you have to take always a powder to get protection, and the patch is a patch for 3 years. So it's again, and our target product profile points out to around about three injections. So again, that's consistent with our strategy to deliver convenient products where the patients really can be compliant with and can get the treatment finished. So we'll be a little bit late, but I think we'll come up with a much better product.
And is there anything in particular that you need to innovate in terms of the development of the manufacturing process? Well,
it's a totally new technology. So it's been used for cancer vaccines,
yeah.
but we have to produce the product. The product is a the vaccine with a protein that is the one of the proteins that more responsible for the allergic response, which is the RR10, and that's binded in a special way, so it has to be designed ad hoc, the manufacturing process, and then it has to go through GMP standards.
to Nick's first. Nick, can you just flesh out a bit more information on the tax credit on R&D? It's unusual to see it coming in above the line. So are you, is that the amount you've actually received in cash, or is it an accrued amount that will come in the following year? And then subsequent to that, where is it going to appear in your tax credit? Is it going to be part of your underlying operating profit through, or is it going to be
To answer the first part of the question, it hasn't been received yet, so it's just accrued at this stage. The increase that's happened this year has been due to the fact that we've employed an external consultant to review our costs and analyse what type of costs we could recover through a R&D tax credit. And answering your further question, as far as the cash flow will come through on the operating part of the cash flows is common treatment in accounting.
My second question, Manuel, is could you just flesh out a little bit more about the dynamics of the US regulators? It's an incredibly interesting point in time. The regulators want to introduce some strong, or the FDA wants to introduce some strong regulations about controlling the market. But on the other hand, they haven't got any products approved. So it's a bit of a catch-22. So are they, aggressively, but are they encouraging and really supportive of yourselves? And do you think that they're equally supportive of some of your competitors to try and get the market?
I think in general, yes. Not aggressively. I felt a more open dialogue, not dialogue or position probably. If we compare it to 2008-2009, I think the FDA wants this to be properly regulated, and they are taking measures to do that. But they don't give in on the standards of efficacy and safety. So yes, I would say it's a more pleasant maybe or better conversations, but we have to do the homework anyway.
It's actually they are the ones in the...
We will not get any sort of help in terms of flex any condition. We have to deliver what we need to deliver.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. This will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for a name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Lobe, please continue.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming here, and we will keep you posted through our announcements. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.